Back here on KATE Radio, AM 1450, Afternoons with Aaron. It's a Monday. That means Mike Grimm with the Minnesota News Network, their sports director, joins us. And Mike, a good afternoon. How was the weekend?
Yeah, warm. I tried to stay inside as much as I could, but it was fine. You know, it's a trade-off. I've talked to a few people over the last couple of days. Would you rather have this kind of heat at 96, or is it worse to be, you know, stuck inside in January at minus 18? And I'm not sure what the answer is, but at least, you know, you can do a few things outside. So it was fine. Nothing too major.
Well, let's start with our Minnesota Twins. Twins down in Kansas City for a four-game series. And the big story from yesterday, a triple play. Did you see the highlights or watch that live at all?
I was actually watching it live when it happened. Yeah, it's crazy, crazy play. Pop-up bunt. And I'm not sure what the base runners were doing, especially the guy at second. It was pretty clear it was a pop-up off the bat. And he hesitated as if, he thought that Sano may drop it or something, but Miguel had an easy play on it. So yeah, it was great. It was a key part of that game. You know, you got first and second, no outs. Twins, of course, returned the favor, not in the triple play, but they had bases loaded, no outs, and mustered only one run. But as it turns out, it was enough. They got the two, and weird, they score the winning run on a hit by pitch with the bases loaded, or at least it was the go ahead run, I guess, is probably the better way to put it, because it happened in the fifth inning. But yeah, the triple play was great. You know, it's weird because Sano now has been involved in four triple plays. The last four the Twins have turned, he's had a hand in one. He was at third base in a couple of them. He was at first base in a couple of them. And I got a kick yesterday in watching the game. Dick Bramer was like, that has to be the all-time record, like in Major League history. Like, there's only a handful of triple plays a year in the whole league. And as it turns out, it's not even the franchise record. Gary Gaetti's been involved in six of them. In fact, he had two in one game in that record setter back in, I think it was 1990. So it was pretty cool to hear some of the background stories on the triple plays.
Mike Grimm with us here on Albert Lea Radio, Afternoons with Aaron. And looking at the Twins right now, I think they're about a dozen games back of the White Sox. The Twins, it's not an excuse, but they are kind of a wounded unit with injuries. Their outfield has been banged up. Injury to Mitch Garver obviously doesn't help. Again, no excuses for where this team is at, but they do have a lot of guys that just are not playing right now because of injuries.
Yeah, and it seems to be a continuing theme too. You know, it's just a bizarre thing. I mean, this has been an ongoing issue with the Twins. I mean, I think you and I have talked in the past. It's really, you know, it's like the Minnesota sports market is doomed. Every time you got a good team going, somebody gets hurt. You know, Byron Buxton had an MVP type season going, and he hasn't played now in a while. It sounds like maybe he's going to start a rehab assignment here soon in St. Paul. But you're right. I mean, I clicked the game on for a minute, and it was like the Saints lineup was out there, right? I think there were only about three, and that's no knock on those guys.
No,
they're all
going to
be probably fine players, but you know, it's hard to win in the big leagues if, you know, and I get it. People do get sick of injuries, and it does seem to happen more to our teams here. It's just remarkable. So I know why you get exhausted as a sports fan to hear it and just say, look, just go win. It was even that way with the Gopher basketball team and Richard Pitino late in the season. People, you know, you lost your best, basically your best, you know, an all Big Ten caliber center. You lost Gabe Kalscher with a hand injury. I can't even remember now. I'm trying to, remove that into that season out of my mind. But and people wanted to hear nothing of it. You got to have depth. You got to have 15 people. You got to, you know, that's what you recruit a bench for. And the weird thing was this was Richard's, you know, one of his best teams depth wise. But when all of a sudden the guys that you're counting on for depth are starting, then yes, of course, any team's going to have problems. And that's what that team did. But again, excuses, you know, it's factual. I mean, like you said, you're not trying to make an excuse. It's just factual. And here the Twins are in the same boat. Kepler's out. Kenta Maeda, who was in the Cy Young running last year, now he hasn't pitched well when he's been healthy, but he's out. So when all of a sudden now Randy Dobnak has to start, Bailey Ober has to start, all of a sudden you're getting into a situation when you're playing a big league schedule, and you're already in a hole. it's hard to dig yourself out of the hole. They did have a couple of things go their way in this series, so hopefully the worm's turning a little bit. I know we even talked about that a little last Monday. I guess it was last Tuesday. But the injury bug is just, it wears a guy out as a sports fan, that's for sure, here in Minnesota.
Twins are off today. The New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, come to Target Field starting tomorrow night for a three-game series. Mike, I saw the Minnesota Lynx got a win last night. They were off to, I think, a slow start at 0-4, and they're starting to pick things up. Is it two or three in a row for them?
Three in a row now, yeah. They're 3-4. They go to Washington tomorrow. They're finally back to close enough to full strength. Kayla McBride had 19 last night, and Nafisa Collier was a big factor in the game. And remember, those two players were late in getting in because their seasons overseas were going overtime because they were making their teams were making nice runs in the playoffs. So the training camp didn't include them for whatever reason. Cheryl Revis talked about this now numerous times that they had an awful training camp. She just kept last night in the post game. She just kept saying we had a terrible training camp, and so maybe they're starting to finally put it all together. Especially when you have a bunch of these new faces. But it's weird because you say, oh well, you know, they're 3-4. It's early in the season, but remember the WNBA only plays like 32 games. So 7 games, you're in. What, almost 20% of the season now, so you can't dilly-dally in this thing. You can't go on a long losing streak. So this is nice that they're getting out of it. The other thing they had was a little break in the schedule. They only had 2 games in like a 14-day period, and they used that time almost like a training camp, it sounds like, kind of a second training camp when Collier and McBride got back. So hopefully they're playing well, that they're turning around. They won by 20 last night. Over Atlanta, which is a pretty good team. In fact, Atlanta had won 4 in a row before they got to town, and it was a 2-game set Friday, Sunday, and the Lynx took them both, so that was good news.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network sports director here on KATE. And Mike, I watched when I had a chance. I had a busy weekend, but so much on the tube when it comes to college baseball and college softball, and diamonds across the state of Minnesota are full with softball teams and baseball teams. They're on the brink of punching their tickets at a state tournament. And after last year, we had those sports completely wiped out. It is such a refreshing thing to see it on TV, to see these young kids get a chance to play on the high school and softball diamonds. I know you're a big fan of a ball in the diamonds. So am I. It is just, it's something you take for granted. And then when it gets taken away from you and then you get it back, you realize how lucky we are, how blessed we are to watch these athletes play. And I don't know about you, I'm enjoying it so much that things are back to normal, especially here for the spring season.
No doubt. I couldn't agree more, 100%. The youth sports season, even up to, you know, into the high school hockey time, you know, before the spring season got here was, you know, it just wasn't normal. It just wasn't. And it looks like things, it feels like things are getting back to normal. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of the baseball. I love college baseball. As you remember, we've talked over the years. I coached my son's teams over the years with another friend of mine. And I always would insist on telling my team to go watch the College World Series. And that's the way you want to play. I mean, I love Major League Baseball. I love watching Twins. And, you know, my team's the Cardinals. And,
yep.
But there are certain aspects of the Major League game that I wouldn't recommend to youth baseball. The ground ball, the shortstop, a lot of those guys are just jogging to first, because they know that play's likely going to be made and you're playing 162 games and you got to. And so those kind of things, I don't want youth baseball players to take in. You watch a college game, they're sprinting every play, right? They sprint out of the dugout. They sprint into the dugout. There's chatter in the dugout. There's enthusiasm. There's, excitement. There's this energy that you don't get. And again, I love big league baseball. I really do. But there's something about the college game. And look, I'm not going to be a phony. If I had the choice, if the Twins were playing the Yankees as they are tomorrow night and there was a college game across the street, I'd go watch the Twins and Yankees, okay? That said, the style that and the enthusiasm with which the college guys play, I used to tell my team all the time when the College World Series was on, and it was somewhat rewarding, gratifying. Oftentimes the players would be 12, 13 years old. They'd say, yeah, I'd set my DVR to record them all. And then they'd come back, and all of a sudden you hear these kids in the dugout, hey, did you see Oklahoma do this? And how about that guy from Tennessee? And so it's cool, you know, when they're watching it. And the team does play like that. And, it, you know, all of a sudden when the guy's on first base and the pitcher throws over and the whole dugout's yelling back like you see in college baseball all the time. It's pretty cool. So anyway, that's just one of the cool aspects of it. And I'll be honest with you, what I really also have enjoyed, and I have caught a few of these games, is the Softball World Series. And you know, I was lucky enough when the Gophers made it in 2019 to go down and announce those two games that they played down there. And what an experience. I had always wanted to go anyway. My wife's still bitter that she didn't get to go because we had always planned on making that trip. And someday we still probably will. You know, we may make a whole week of it, head to Omaha first and then to Oklahoma City next. And I've been to both now. I've also been to the College World Series. We took my son's team down there in 2014 to play in a tournament while the College World Series was going on purpose. And the whole team got to watch a couple of games in person, and it was great. So I really enjoy the College Softball World Series as well. And I've gotten it weird enough through a friend of a friend kind of a thing, a kid I played baseball with at Luther College as a friend of the Alabama coach, Pat Murphy, who grew up in Iowa. And so through Twitter and social media, I've gotten to, I'm not going to say we know each other, but we've tweeted at each other a couple of times. And so I kind of have turned into, since the Gophers got eliminated, watching Alabama, and kind of turned into a Crimson Tide softball fan. And they have I think they're a win away from making it to the finals. So it'd be cool to see them do that. But I love the College Softball World Series as well. All going into that general theme you ask about, that it's just great. I was running an errand in the process of doing some stuff. So I have a store. We have a little small rental unit. And so I was driving to that, and I drove by this softball complex on Saturday, I guess it was, running some errands. And holy cow, it was, you know, tents up everywhere, parents just, you know, watching their daughters play softball at this complex. I don't know what the age groups were. I guess they were 12 or so. And it was just, I don't want to be dramatic, but I just took a moment as I drove by just on my errand, just watching that, just saying, man, I'm sure those parents are just soaking it in to finally get back to doing that kind of stuff.
Mike Grimm with us here on KAINT Radio. And one more thing I want to talk about, Mike, and this is just a reminder. And, you know, we just talked about how things are back to normal for spring sports. We do have to remember that COVID is still here. It hasn't gone away. And that showed in the Gulfland over the weekend. Did you hear about that story?
Yeah, so strange with John Rahm. And I honestly didn't follow it that closely. I did just see kind of the headlines and the story on the news. But I would have assumed most of those guys would have gotten a vaccine just to play it safe, and apparently he has not. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to shame him into anything, but and you know, I think the Twins still are in a situation where not everybody on that team has gotten one either. So, man, that's a tough one, especially given the situation. It'd be one thing if he's, you know, stuck in the middle of a pack at 2 under par and he's going to finish 25th or something. But the guy was leading the tournament by 6 shots. He was almost assured of winning the thing, you know, and he would have had to have a major meltdown yesterday not to win it. So that was, yeah, man. So you're right. It's a reminder that you still have to, and obviously he was asymptomatic. He was feeling fine out there playing, winning golf.
Yeah, and here's the weird thing. So he played Saturday, and like Mike said, he was in the driver's seat. And so sometime after his round, he tested positive for COVID and then could not play Sunday. Is that the complete story?
Well, it's even more bizarre, Aaron, honestly. They take the test and they let you start. The test result came back in the middle of his round. And as he was walking off the 18th green, he had just finished this round. He's got a 6-shot lead. He's feeling great. And he wasn't 10 feet off the green, and they came and told him that he's done and that he had tested positive, that his test from that day or whenever they had previously taken it. And he hunched over, like he bent over at the waist, you know, like as you would. I mean, he was just devastated. So it wasn't even like, hey, he's back at the hotel and he gets a call on, you know, Saturday night, hey, your test. It was like he wasn't even 15 or 20 feet off the green finishing his round when they came and got him out of there, obviously. Which, in a weird way, I'm a little surprised that they wouldn't have taken him off earlier. I mean, if he is positive,
yeah,
I would think you'd want to get him out of there. I wouldn't think you'd let him finish the round. But and I don't know exactly the timing of it all. I do know that, you know, he had just finished. He had just been coming off the 18th when they told him. So I just saw on the news the highlight of it. It was just surreal to see it.
And all John would have had to do yesterday was shoot a 4-over par 76, and he would have won the tournament.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. He was assured of winning just about with a 6-shot lead. I mean, that would be, a major meltdown. Now we've seen meltdowns before. In fact, Tim Herron, our own Wayzata native, our own Minnesotan, he had a 4-shot lead yesterday in the Champions Tour event in Des Moines, and he ended up losing by 2 shots. Ironically, shooting exactly that, a 4-over par, but he would have at least been in a playoff had he had a 6-shot lead like Rahm had. So Rahm was in pretty good position. There's no doubt about it.
And one last thing about Rahm. I mean, I don't know what his financial standing is. I'm assuming the checkbook and the savings account is doing pretty good. But this guy would have won the purse. He would have won first place, which equals a lot of dollar signs. And again, it's just a reminder that even though we are on the back end of it and things are going to normal, this is a reminder, I think, for everybody and everybody in the sports world that COVID is still here and will still affect our daily life.
Yeah, no question. You still have to be careful, and look, it's weird because when you start talking about stuff, the situation has gotten to be political. So if I would say, that's why people should get vaccinated, I promise you there's a percentage of people listening saying, whatever. So it's just such a touchy subject. But, if I'm a pro golfer and my livelihood depends on it, I probably would have taken the shot, I'm not a pro golfer and I took the shot. I just want to go out and do stuff. So to me, it is a situation that is a touchy one, and it's a situation that you have to give some people some latitude. But I'll tell you what, at the same time, if you have to be careful, but two, if you're not vaccinated, and you're going to be around people, that's the risk you take here with, and again, maybe there have been cases where people have tested positive after being vaccinated. I don't think that's the case with Rahm. I think he had said he had not been vaccinated. So, tricky situation. No question about it.
Minnesota News Network sports director Mike Graham joins us every Monday here on KAIT Radio. Mike will talk to us a week from tomorrow. Week from tomorrow. We'll talk to him on next Tuesday here on KAIT. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Have you a great week, and we'll check in with you next week.
Okay, sounds good, Aaron. Thanks.